Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
Mogacha has dropped back to last, and they're at the top of the stretch. It is Beacon Hill, Tide of the Sea, Shamrocket, and Bluegrass Parkway, and the four of them are stacked across the track. Here comes Shamrocket, and here comes Bluegrass Parkway as Beacon Hill continues to battle on with less than an eighth of a mile to the finish. It is Shamrocket and Beacon Hill, and now their heads apart. Shamrocket on the outside, Beacon Hill on the inside. It's going to be Shamrocket by a half length after the 12 furlong marathon. Shamrocket the winner, then Beacon Hill. The time was 2:26:03.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening and welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman with a cool dozen races to preview for this weekend's action. We heard there in the open running the 2021 point of entry won by Shamrocket, who came from off the pace. That was on the turf. He's going to try is to take his talents over to the main track at Gulfstream on tomorrow's card. We've got a dozen races, as I mentioned, Dave, and great racing all over the country. We're hitting New York, we're hitting Florida, we're hitting California, hitting Arkansas. Should be another great weekend.
It is that you like to wager, whether you like to hop around or concentrate on one or two meets. There's some good opportunities this weekend, and I'm looking forward to getting your opinions and kind of figuring out exactly where I'm headed in each of these sequences.
Of course, no sport brings the wins home like racing. It's a one-of-a-kind, high-speed, high-stakes action. And Naira Betts takes you there. Bet tracks like Oaklawn Park, Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, Aqueduct, and many more, all with the best app in racing. And with Naira Betts, new users can enjoy a $200 sign-up deposit match bonus anytime. Just use the promo code HRRN200 and get in the action today. That's no spaces, HRRN200. And, of course, be sure to tune into America's Day at the Races every weekend. The schedule this weekend for America's Day at the Races, tomorrow, FS2 from 2:30 to 4 Eastern time, then switch over to FS1 from 4 to 5:30. Somewhat similar on Sunday, FS2 from 2:30 to 4:30, and then over to FS1 from 4:30 to 5:30, all times Eastern Standard Time. All right, we'll start in New York, Dave, where they've got a nice stake on tomorrow's card. It's the $100,000 Franklin Square. This is for three-year-old fillies who were foaled in New York State. They're going to go 6.5 furlongs on the main track. Field of 9 here. And this is one of those kind of tough to figure out which way you want to go type of races. The actual morning line favorite is number 6, Lilu, for Dave Duggan and Kendra Carmouche, coming off a resounding maiden win in her most recent start. But that's pretty much what you can say for almost everybody in this field. All of these fillies, with the exception of number 2, She's a Wild Joker, are just maiden winners. She's a Wild Joker is the only one who has multiple wins on her resume. She doesn't look any faster than some of the others in here, so which way do you go?
Yeah, it's a pretty wide-open event and kind of a difficult race to handicap. Lilu, who you mentioned, is the most expensive horse in the race, a $150,000 daughter of Practical Joke, who didn't run great first time out, but came back in the slop at Aqueduct and blew out a field of 9 other runners. To me, it looks like there's some cheap speed in here with Thin Legs and Sandy's Garden. I have a little bit of interest in thinking it over for Ray Handel, who beat 10 other rivals in the mud in a race that was taken off the turf at Aqueduct in November, went off as the tepid favorite, had a little bit of racing trouble, and still got to the wire first. But the horse that I ended up with is Flip My ID for Mike Maker, a horse that's never been on the dirt. I just think Flip My ID has run in faster races, Saratoga, at Kentucky Downs, and at Belmont Park. And if the form on turf flips to dirt, I think Flip My ID will be in good shape. I trust Maker. The horse is 1-for-1 in New York bred races, but I don't pick this with a ton of confidence. It's just kind of where I ended up.
Wow, I'm surprised to hear that you picked Flip My ID simply for the fact that she has never raced on the dirt. That is not your normal way of going, my friend. So
it's really not.
I'm intrigued that you picked her. I had it down to number five, Moam, M-O-A-M. I don't know if it's Moam or Moam. Or number nine, Thinking It Over. Moam has only raced once. It was in one of those tough New York bred maiden special weight events at Saratoga, and she won very impressively from off the pace that day, now coming back off a layoff for Horacio De Paz, who does just fine with these extended layoff runners. But I'm going to pick number nine, Thinking It Over, on top, pretty much for what you said. I like the fact that she beat 10 other runners. I like the fact that she gets the outside post again. She ran in the mud last time at a race that was scheduled for the turf and moved over to the muddy main track. But the thing that intrigues me the most is she was a first-time starter for Ray Handel, who, although he's winning a lot more races now, is certainly not a billboard name yet. But she was 2-1 favorite in that 11-horse field first time out and got the job done. So she was rumored to be doing well. She did well that day. And to be honest, I think if she runs that race again, she's going to win again. And 9-2 is a square price. I don't think we're going to get 9-2. So I'm going to go with number nine, Thinking It Over. I'm going to use the five, Moam, as well. Dave going with number seven, Flip My ID, in the $100,000 Franklin Square Stakes, race number eight tomorrow on the Aqueduct program. Let's jump down to sunny South Florida, where they've got two stakes on the Saturday card, both the Sunshine Classic and the Sunshine Sprint. Sunshine Classic goes as race number six, just a $75,000 purse for this stake. Florida-bred four-year-olds and up going a mile and an eighth on their main track. Field of seven going to post here, Dave, and we heard in the intro the stretch run of last year's Point of Entry Stakes, won impressively by the Todd Pletcher trainee Sham Rocket. Well, Sham Rocket, no doubt about it, has been facing the toughest competition by far of anyone in this field. A lot of stakes competition, actually running well in graded stakes several times in his career. But he has 21 career starts. Every one of them was on the turf. And now he's 6-5 on the morning line, trying the dirt for the first time.
This is the first leg of the pick six at Gulfstream. I have not yet determined whether that is a play I'm going to make tomorrow or not. There are only two horses in here I can get to. I think this field came up pretty weak. It's Sham Rocket, as you mentioned, who has never run on dirt, and Glory of Florida on the extreme outside, who, let's be honest, last time out didn't run particularly well in a low-level stakes race at Gulfstream, but I think has some races in his back in his history, and not too far back in his history, that indicate that he's probably good enough at least to beat everyone other than Sham Rocket in here. I'm not clear whether Glory of Florida wants a mile and an eighth, but I think that he needs an honest pace. Pretty good chance that he's going to get that, could sit just off, and has an opportunity. Sham Rocket is a complete who knows on the dirt. I'm certainly not betting to win at even money or so, but there's no trainer in horse racing I trust more than to spot their horses in the right place than Todd Pletcher. And Sham Rocket towers over this field if he's, you know, 85% of what he is on turf, on dirt, and I think Sham Rocket's the most likely winner in here.
Well, I'm going to take a stand against Sham Rocket. I think that if they thought he was going to be decent on dirt, we would have seen him on dirt already, and they would not have waited for this kind of nondescript $75,000 stake. I mean, this is a stake, let's face it, that doesn't have a purse even as high as a maiden race over at Oaklawn Park. So it's a very small stake. I know Sham Rocket is the horse that probably wants the mile and an eighth more than anyone. I know he's the class of the field. I'm just not going to trust that he's the same horse on dirt as he is on turf. So I'm going to try to beat him. I have it down to two horses. You mentioned number seven, Glory of Florida. He's the one I trust the most. I'm going to use him. But the horse I'm putting on top is number one, Sir Ollie. I loved what I saw from him last time out. First time they stretched him to a mile. Now, it was a one-turn mile at Gulfstream, not two turns like he's going to get tomorrow in the mile and an eighth race. But he looked great in that one-mile effort, his first start moving from the barn of Bill Mott to Safi Joseph's barn. And I think a repeat of that effort is good enough to make him a major player in the Sunshine Classic. I'm going to put number one, Sir Ali, on top. He's 4-1 on the morning line. Let's jump forward to the 10th race on the card at Gulfstream tomorrow, the Sunshine Sprint. Florida-bred four-year-olds and up, going 6 furlongs. Purse, once again, $75,000. We've got a field of 8 here. Dave, how'd you see it?
I think you're going to have to go pretty deep if you're playing pick 4s, pick 5, pick 6s. The winner of this race last year is in the field, number 8, Cajun Brother, who has won just once since that race in 6 outings. And Cajun Brother is really inconsistent, but likes the track and likes the distance, and I think is viable. Number 2, Pudding, has beaten several in this field recently, including 4, Poppy's Pride, 5, Gatsby, and the aforementioned Cajun Brother. I think Legal Deal is not totally impossible here as the speed horse that has an opportunity to go wire to wire, though I do think there's quite a bit of speed in here. I ended up with number 5, Gatsby. Mild step up on paper, but I'm not sure that's the case in practice. Ran in an optional claimer last time out, but ran in to drain the clock and really ran a really good race, finishing just a half length behind. Very competitive races against several horses in here. I like the way this horse is running. I like Luis Saez, and Gatsby is my pick, but I could not come anywhere close to a single.
Yeah, I think Gatsby's going to be tough as well. I went to number 2, Pudding, for a couple of reasons. One, I think he gets a gigantic rider upgrade from what he's seen in most of his starts over the last, in 2021, going to Javier Castellano. And two, I think he's going to get the right pace. There's a lot of front-running type speed in here, whether it's Cool Quest or Lugamo or Poppy's Pride or Boca Boy or Legal Deal. They all want to be firing to the lead. Even Gatsby doesn't figure like he's going to be too far back. Pudding isn't a gigantic closer, but he's one of only a few in here who I think can close, and I trust him more than some of the others. So I don't think he's better than a lot of the horses in this field. I think he's just going to be in the right pace scenario. I'm going to put number 2, Pudding, on top. Dave likes number 5, Gatsby, in tomorrow's 10th race at Gulfstream, the Sunshine Sprint, over 6 furlongs on the main track. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to head out to Oaklawn Park for their Saturday feature and start looking at the Santa Anita card. They actually have 5 stakes on the Saturday program. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
The Pegasus World Cup returns Saturday, January 29th to Gulfstream Park. Join A-list celebrities, fashion icons, and the biggest names in horse racing for South Florida's luxury sports and entertainment event of the year. Experience VIP dining, a burlesque brunch from Faina's Trist Cabaret, or go trackside in the Carousel Club, featuring DJ Cassidy with celebrity performers. Tickets are on sale now at PegasusWorldCup.com.
Get your favorite HRRN shows anytime.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Twin Spires.
The Brisnet.com call-in show.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
The Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Follow us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app to download our latest episodes. Or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to listen live whenever we're on the air. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Top of the stretch, Concert Tour is the leader. He's a quarter mile from a victory, and he leads by a length from Caddo River in second. To the outside, Keep Me in Mind. Then Get Her Number, final furlong, and Concert Tour is now 4 lengths in front, and Concert Tour is running them off their feet in the Rebel. Concert Tour, five lengths in front. Hozier might get second. Eight Rebels for Baffert Concert Tour. Wow, big run. Four and a half. Hozier second. Big Lake third. Maybe Superstock for fourth.
Big Stauffer on the call of last year's Grade 2 Rebel at Oaklawn Park, won impressively by the Bob Baffert Trainee Concert Tour. Came back after that Rebel win and kind of laid an egg a little bit in the Arkansas Derby and was even worse than that in the Preakness, and we haven't seen him since. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts. Bobby Newman, Dave Freeman taking you through a cool dozen races on the weekend action, and we'll go down to Oaklawn Park, Dave, speaking of Concert Tour. And their stake race tomorrow is the $150,000 fifth season stakes. 1 mile, two-turn mile at Oaklawn Park, four-year-olds and up. Really good field here going in an ungraded stakes. A graded stakes caliber field going in the fifth season tomorrow. Field of nine, because it's a non-graded stake, they are able to use the medication Lasix. If it were a graded stake, they would not. And it brings us with the return of Concert Tour. Now, Concert Tour, as I mentioned, has not been seen since a very poor effort behind Rombauer in the Preakness. He was off since that race. He's been working now for his new trainer, Brad Cox, down at the Fairgrounds most recently, before that at Churchill Downs. He likes it at Oaklawn Park. Question is, what version of Concert Tour are we going to get tomorrow? Will he be as good or better as when we saw him winning the Rebel?
Well, in order to win this race, it's going to have to be Concert Tour's best career race. Off since May, that's absolutely possible. If Concert Tour wins, I am going to be a loser in here. This is first versus older, and quite frankly, go back to the Rebel, I don't think he beat a whole lot. I don't think Concert Tour has ever beaten a horse as good as about half of this field. I do think Concert Tour is very, very talented. I like Brad Cox a great deal. Joel Rosario has been aboard for all three of Concert Tour's wins, and he can win. But at a short price, I prefer somebody else. This is a race that has three horses that have earned over $1 million, and a fourth, Silver Prospector, is on the verge of doing so. I'm not entirely sure what the pace is going to be in here. If it's a hot pace, Necker Island, I think, could sit a really, really nice trip just off the pace. I certainly respect Concert Tour, as I mentioned. Long Range Toddy is stretching out. $1 million winner, hasn't won in a long, long time. But I think this race is going to be won wire to wire by Thomas Shelby on the rail. I like the cutback for Robertino Diodoro. I think Thomas Shelby is consistently running really, really well. Good at Oaklawn, good at the distance. I think the Son of Curlin goes wire to wire.
I picked Thomas Shelby on top as well, which is strange because I really liked Concert Tour last year. In fact, he was probably the strongest I felt about any horse winning a race all year was him winning the Rebel, and he was not favored that day. Caddo River was the favorite, and I just hated Caddo River that afternoon, and every bet I made and everything in my pocket was surrounding Concert Tour winning the Rebel. So it was a good day. I agree with everything you said. I'm going to put Thomas Shelby on top. He's just a win machine. 10 wins from 24 career starts, a couple of those wins at Oaklawn. Listen, he can make the lead and go wire to wire. He can sit just off the pace and engage going into the far turn. I think the biggest question mark in this field is, what does Florent Giroux do with number 9, Mucho, who's a sprinter stretching out around two turns? He's a horse that is close to the pace in sprints, but he's drawn the outside. I don't know what he's going to do from there. He's certainly fast enough to bother both Concert Tour and Thomas Shelby early on, and if that happens, it's probably not going to work out well for any of those three. If Mucho doesn't go, then I think that Concert Tour and Thomas Shelby could be 1-2 all the way around the racetrack, one way or the other. I'm going to put Thomas Shelby on top just because 5-1 is 5-1 and it's hard to pass up. But I'm probably going to spread in this race. I think there are too many different scenarios I think can happen. I could see Concert Tour beating this field. I can see Thomas Shelby winning. I can see the pace being too hot for both of them and horses like Necker Island, like Silver Prospect are coming running. So I'm going to spread, but like you, my top choice will be number one, Thomas Shelby in the $150,000 fifth season, race 8 tomorrow on the Oaklawn Park card. Well, as I mentioned, they've got 5 stakes on the Saturday card at Santa Anita, and the first of those 5 stakes is the Cal Cup Derby. $200,000 on the line for Cal Bred or Cal Sired 3-year-olds. Mile and a 16th on the main track goes as race 3 on the Santa Anita card tomorrow. A short but sweet field of 6 to go to post. And Dave, I think they kept this race out early to keep it out of the pick 6 there at Santa Anita, which is a mandatory payout tomorrow. Whether it gets hit today or not, and obviously we've seen, you know, these mandatory payouts go the day before they're, you know, supposed to get big. But assuming it doesn't get hit on Friday, they're expecting it could reach about $4 million on Saturday. And this is going to be a short price favorite in the Cal Cup Derby. Number 5, Straight Up G, 4-5 on the morning line. Because of that, they've kept this race out of that pick 6.
Yeah, I'm thrilled this is not in the pick 6 sequence because this is the type of race I end up using 3 horses and get a horse that goes off at 2-5 and you go, wow, I wasted an awful lot of my equity just trying to get through a race that was obvious to start with. If Straight Up G repeats the race that he ran last time when he beat Phineas and he beat Fast Draw Munnings, he's going to win at a short price again. I kind of felt like everything went his way on December 12th when he got slow fractions, took the lead, and kicked home pretty easily. On that day, Straight Up G was 2-1. 2-1, and Phineas was a tepid favorite at about 9-5, and Fast Draw Munnings was 3.5-1, so 7-2. And now we're going to see the odds completely flip. Straight Up G is going to be less than even money, and Phineas is going to be, I don't know, 2.5, 3-1, something like that. And Fast Draw Munnings is going to be more like 4 or 5-1. And I just wonder if we're going to see a different race. If Highland Ghost, the rail horse, is going to lock up with Straight Up G. I just don't think Straight Up G is going to get as easy a trip. I like Phineas. I like the switch to John Velasquez. I think he'll be coming late. I don't know if he's better than Straight Up G, but he's definitely going to be a better value, and that's who I'm going to go with.
I agree with everything you said, but I accept that I put number 5, Straight Up G, still on top, but I'm using number 4, Phineas, as well. I think you're right. I think that Straight Up G could encounter a little more pressure up front. And listen, just because you win at Los Alamitos doesn't mean you're going to win at Santa Anita. Even though it's a similar field, a lot of the same runners, it's a little bit of a different scenario. It's a different track composition. It's a much faster track with tighter turns at Los Alamitos. And I really don't, you know, what happens there doesn't really have a lot of effect, as far as I'm concerned, on what happens at tracks like Del Mar and Santa Anita. So I put Straight Up G on top, but like you, I'm going to use Phineas. Dave likes it the other way around, 4 and 5. I'm going to use 5 and 4. I think you're also using number 3, Fast Draw Munnings, it sounded like, in your horizontal wagers. Either way, we're going to have a big favorite in the Cal Cup Derby. Dave's going to try to beat him. I'm putting him on top. It doesn't sound like it's a race either of us is really making as, the race that we're ready to unload on. But the Cal Cup Derby goes as race 3 tomorrow on the Santa Anita card. Let's jump forward to the 6th race at Santa Anita tomorrow. It is the Unusual Heat Turf Classic. And this race, 1 1/8 on the turf for the Calbred 4-year-olds and up. Nice field of 8 set to go to post here, Dave. And favorite is down on the outside, number 8, Indian Peak, for Ruben Alvarado and Johnny V.
Yeah, and that's who I eventually picked, but it took a long time to get there. I wondered if there was a speed horse in here. I don't think there's a lot of early pace, and I was looking for someone to try to steal the race, whether it be Whooping Jay on the rail, Margot's Boy, number 2, or maybe Farriar, Ferraro. How the heck do you say number seven?
Ferrariano.
Ferrariano. I thought one of those three. Could he get the lead? Could they go the distance? I just couldn't get to any of them. Camino del Paraiso, number five, is a horse that I think fits very, very nicely at this level. Has been running primarily in Northern California in graded stakes races. When he eases off just a little bit, the nine-year-old often wins in races that look a lot like this. I think particularly at the state bred level, he fits. But the bottom line is 0 for 4 at the distance, 0 for 7 at Santa Anita. I just think Indian Peak is the most likely winner here. I think he more consistently runs better than everyone else. I think he's running at a little bit of a better class than most of them in here. And I like him. I don't love him, but I like him.
Dropping out of a couple of graded stakes his last two starts, but going back into this listed stake, and the last time he ran a listed stake, he got the job done in the California Flag last October. I can understand Indian Peak. I almost picked number five, Camino del Paraíso. However, he just doesn't seem to be as good at Santa Anita as he is in Northern California. Maybe the competition's tougher. Maybe he doesn't like the turf course. Maybe it's a combination of the two. So even though I'm going to use him, I'm going to try for a bit of a screwball here with number four, Love Love, for John Sadler and Tyler Bays. He, unlike Camino del Paraíso, has won a couple of times at Santa Anita, getting back onto the turf after they tried him on the dirt over at Los Al last time out. He's just better on the turf than he is on the dirt. And I think there will be enough pace for him to come running. To be perfectly honest, he's lightly raced. It took him a while to get his maiden win. I think he still has some upside where the other ones are just looking for a spot where they fit these days. And I'm not really sure that the allowance races he's been running in, these open allowance races, are any less tough than this conditioned cowbred stake he's going to run in tomorrow. So 12 to 1 on the morning line. I'm going to try to light up the board with number 4, Love Love. Dave going with number 8, Indian Peak, in tomorrow's sixth race at Santa Anita, the Unusual Heat Turf Classic. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we've got three more stakes to look at on the Santa Anita card. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Experience the thrill of live thoroughbred racing at the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park. Join us Saturday, January 29th, to bet on your favorites in six stakes races worth over $500,000. Step outside for a front row seat for live racing action from the post parade to the finish line. Spend the afternoon with friends watching competitive racing from around the world. Visit LaurelPark.com for details. Racing Thursday through Sunday, post time 12:10 p.m.
Hey, HRN Nation, it's Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch. Last Saturday morning on my Equine Forum show, so many of you called in to talk with Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith on the debut of You Be the Host. Well, get those questions ready for this Saturday morning, too, as you get to be the host with retired Hall of Famer Ramon Dominguez. You can also post your questions on our social media pages, and I will ask them for you. That's at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. It's You Be the Host this Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, on the Equine Forum, presented by Twins Fires. Your chance to talk with Hall of Fame jockey Ramon Dominguez on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Fashionably Fast has a lot of ground to make up on the inside. He's followed by Rookie Mistake with a quarter of a mile to go. And it is still Brickyard Ride in front. He's got a two-length lead over Jamming Eddie with Loudmouth in pursuit. Fashionably Fast is next. T-Grade Sluggo is starting to pick up some momentum. They're coming to the 16th pole, and Brickyard Ride, running the race of his life, has a three-length lead. Loudmouth, Jamming Eddie, Tigre de Sluggo, fashionably fast. It's going to be Brickyard Ride, who sizzled home in the Don Valpredo Cal Cup Sprint. Tigre de Sluggo rallied with fashionably fast. Then came Loudmouth and Jamming Eddie.
Frank Miramati on the call of last year's Cal Cup Sprint, won in wire-to-wire fashion by Brickyard Ride. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts, Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman. Before we get back to the action, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Mystic Guide comeback on hold. An intended winner comeback for Godolphin's Mystic Guide, winner of the Grade 1 2021 Dubai World Cup, has been delayed after the 5-year-old Ghost Zapper horse encountered a physical setback while training this winter, trainer Mike Stidham said. Off since a runner-up finish in the Grade 2 Suburban Stakes July 7th at Belmont Park, after which he had surgery to have a knee chip removed, Mystic Guide worked twice last month at Fairgrounds, the last of which was a 3-furlong breeze in 36-1 on December 26th. Quote, "We weren't completely happy the way he came out of it, so we decided to send him up to Kentucky to Rood and Riddle, where Dr. Bramlage did the surgery and is overseeing his comeback," said Stidham. "Nothing serious, but enough to where we're in a holding pattern where we had to slow down on him again to give him a little more time before he resumes his training," unquote. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow the road to the Kentucky Derby, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news, as well as analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day, or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up. And Dave, a little bit of bad news there. Mystic Guide is certainly one of the ones who could have been, you know, in the running for the top handicap horse for 2022. This is a horse who they've always had high hopes for. Unfortunately, he's been plagued with injuries. It sounds like he's dealing with another one right now, especially with the retirement of Nick's Go on the horizon and the untimely death of Medina Spirit and the retirement of Essential Quality and Maxfield. You know, Mystic Guide, it was all right there in front of him to really make a big statement this year in the handicap division. And unfortunately, his future is in question right now.
Yeah, I mean, when we see Mystic Guide, it's a pleasure. It's just not very frequent. It feels like we've had this discussion over and over again. I certainly hope he's back on the track healthy soon, but I'm not sure I'm holding my breath. I feel like we've gone through this before.
Yeah, we have, and it's certainly not a good issue. It did sound like whatever the issue is now has nothing to do with the knee that was chipped. It's something else, so I don't know if that's a positive or a negative, that's something completely different, but any time that they have to stop training, it certainly can't be that much of a positive. So wishing Mystic Guide the best, and hopefully we get to see him again on the racetrack. He's certainly really, really good when he comes to play. Speaking of coming to play, a lot of action to play in tomorrow at Santa Anita. 5 stakes on the card. Let's get back to it, Dave. Race 8 right in the smack dab in the middle of their pick 6 wager, a mandatory payout tomorrow, is the Sunshine Millions Filly and Mare Turf Sprint Stakes. Boy, that's not enough words in that. $150,000 the purse, 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course at Santa Anita, and we've got a full field of 12 set to go to post. This is another one where you can go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like all the money, though, when we actually see the pool, is going to be on Warren's Showtime and Legs Galore. They're probably the most established. They've been kind of running in these sort of races for a while, and both of them are really credible. Legs Galore is 6 out of 11. Warren Showtime won 6 races in 12 tries at Santa Anita and has 6 wins in 19 tries over the last 2 years. I'm going to end up with one of those two, but I think there are a couple of long shots that I'm going to fool around with in here. Nardini has not run great in Southern California, but I think has proven is in very much the same class as these. Ran against Warren Showtime, actually finished ahead of Warren Showtime, two back at Del Mar in August. Number 11, Eddie's New Dream. I'm curious what it's going to look like with this horse running a turf sprint. We haven't really seen that. We've seen some sprints. We've seen some turf routes. I'm not so sure that the figs aren't that far off. And when Eddie's New Dream has been on the turf, he's been reasonably good against pretty good horses. I ended up with Legs Galore. I'm just not so sure anyone's going to run her down. She's going to be on the front. I don't know that the pace is going to have to be backbreaking. And she does a whole lot of winning consistently on this course. But it's not a strong play. I'll be using Warren Showtime, and I'll be fooling around with those long shots.
All right, so number 12, Legs Galore for Dave on top, using numbers 4, 9, and 11 with her at that point. I'm going to go with one of your long shots, number 4, Nardini on top. She actually finished ahead of Warren Showtime in the Solana Beach at Del Mar, going a mile on the turf, where I think Warren Showtime was like even money, and Nardini was 10-1, and she was clearly second best and about two lengths ahead of Warren Showtime that day. I think the switch to Kent DeSormo is going to be huge. By far the best rider that has been aboard Nardini in a long time. Kent getting aboard this Andy Mathis trainee, I think she'll enjoy the down-the-hill race. And at 12-1, I can't pass that up, so I'm going to take a little bit of a shot with number 4, Nardini. I respect Warren Showtime. I respect Legs Galore. Certainly, if one of them won and Nardini was second, I will be right there cashing a ticket. But I'm going to put the long shot Nardini on top. Dave going with number 12, Legs Galore, in the Sunshine Million Fillies and Sunshine Millions Philly and Mare Turf Sprint Stakes, 8th race tomorrow at Santa Anita. Let's move to the 9th race. It's the Don Valpredo Cal Cup Sprint, 6 furlongs on the main track. And we heard the stretch run of last year's Cal Cup Sprint, won so impressively by Brickyard Ride. Well, Brickyard Ride is back. We haven't seen him since trying open company in the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien at Del Mar, where he was speed and stopped in a race against horses like Ginobili, CZ Rocket, and Flagstaff. Dave, I don't think there's any question. When Brickyard Ride comes to play, he's clearly better than this field. The problem is, you never know when he's going to come to play.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Though, when Brickyard Ride is not in against graded stakes company, more often than not, he runs pretty darn well. You don't know what the layoff is going to mean, but he's probably going to be forwardly placed. And this is a fine field, a decent field, but certainly not a graded stakes field. A bunch of these horses have run against each other recently. Principi Carlo, number 7, defeated about half the field last time out, won at over 18-1 in a state-bred stakes race at Del Mar. And we could see a repeat of that. Peaceful Transfer, number 2, was involved in that race and really didn't do a great deal of running. Positivity was in that race, went off as the favorite, and just missed by a nose. I think Positivity prefers 7 furlongs to 6. And Colt Fiction on the extreme outside gets John Velasquez today. Fits, I think the cutback will help here, and is very, very reasonable. But I think Brickyard Ride is the best of this group, and I don't think it's particularly close. I think Brickyard Ride is going to be on the front, and I don't think anybody's going to catch him.
Well, I'm not sure I disagree with that. I'm using Brickyard Ride. He's so tough to beat when he's on his game. He's really one of the best sprinters in the country when he's on his game, but when he's on his game is less than 50% of the time. But I'm going to pick number 7, Principe Carlo, on top, only because I think that he may get the good stalking trip to the outside of Brickyard Ride. And if for some reason Brickyard Ride decides to lay an egg tomorrow, I think Principe Carlo is as good or better than anyone else in the field. He's been first or second 9 of 10 career tries on the main track at Santa Anita, so he loves it there, and he's just a model of consistency. I'm going to put Principe Carlo on top using Brickyard Ride. Dave likes Brickyard Ride to repeat in the Cal Cup Sprint, goes as the 9th race tomorrow at the Great Race Place. Final stake on their card tomorrow, race number 10, the Leanne Howard Cal Cup Oaks. Cal-bred three-year-old fillies going a mile on a turf. Cool purse of $200,000. And, Dave, a full field of 12. The morning line favorite is number 7, Professor's Pride. Has never tried the turf, but she's bred to love it.
Yeah, I think there are 4 of them that I'm going to need to cover or at least very, very seriously consider in here. And Professor's Pride is absolutely one of those. Back-to-back, very, very impressive efforts, both as the favorite, the first at Del Mar, the second at Los Alamitos. And this is a horse that everyone says is going to respond to the turf, but you don't know until she's actually on the turf. And she loses her jockey, which is sort of interesting. Vivacious Vanessa retains the mount. Vivacious Vanessa ran really, really well on her first time out, then came back on dirt and didn't run so well. But, of course, this is a mile turf race. I'm definitely at what I think is going to be a little bit of a price interested in Rose Dawson. Number 11, Flavian Pratt, takes the mount. And there are a whole lot of questions. First turf, first route, first versus winners. But I thought the initial win for Phil D'Amato was a pretty good one. And the rail horse, Big Novel, has not run on turf either. 5 races, all on dirt, 1 career victory, but bred for the turf as well. And I think John Sadler and John Velasquez have a very viable option here. I went with Vivacious Vanessa. I thought the first race was just terrific. There was so much traffic, so many issues, and Vivacious Vanessa overcame all of those issues. I'm going to put a X or just kind of cross out the last race. That was a dirt race. I think this is a turf horse, priciest horse in the field, or at least one of them, and Vivacious Vanessa is the pick for me.
Okay, so you're going to the one there where Juan Hernandez shows up on. I am going to go to the one where Juan Hernandez left, or maybe was taken off, or maybe he just committed to Vivacious Vanessa before he knew that Professor's Pride was going to be in this race. I think Professor's Pride, I liked what I've seen from her on dirt for Eddie Truman, who, let's just face it, he doesn't run a lot of horses, and over the years, he doesn't win a lot of races. This is the best filly he's had in a while, and she's by Byron out of a twirling candy mare. As good as she's been on dirt, I think she's bred to be better on turf. We shall see. I wouldn't want to take a real short price, but I like what I've seen thus far, and I think she may be able to get out in front of this field and just keep going. I'm going to use number 6, Eleuthera, as well. Even though she's still a maiden facing winners, the 2 races that she's run on the turf, and more specifically her recent race where she was 2nd in a maiden race, I think is good enough to be right there, if not beat this field. She ran against open company in a maiden special weight last time out, and now she's going into a stake versus Calbreds. It's not as big a step up as it seems. And I liked what I saw from Eleuthera last time out in that maiden race, and at 15-1, I think I'd be foolish not to put her somewhere on the ticket. So I'm using 6s and 7s. Number 7, Professor's Pride, is my top choice. Dave going to number 3, Vivacious Vanessa, in race number 10 tomorrow at Santa Anita, the Cal Cup Oaks for the 3-year-old fillies a mile on the turf. One more break left. When we come back, we'll head back to Florida. They've got a couple races, stakes on the card at Tampa Bay Downs. And then we've got one Sunday stake to look at, the ladies at Aqueduct. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Nyra Betts. Sign up for Nyra Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Nyra Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Nyra Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NyraBetts.com.
Thoroughbred racing is back at Sam Houston Race Park, the home of 12% takeouts for all horizontal wagers. Live racing every Thursday at 4 p.m. and Fridays and Saturdays at 6:45 p.m. Central Time. On Saturday, January 30th, the biggest racing day in Texas with over $1 million in purses, featuring the Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic and the Grade 3 John B. Connolly Turf Cup. First post time, 1:45 p.m. It's all happening in 2022 at Sam Houston Race Park.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I take a look back at the racing history of Hialeah Park. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
And there she goes. At Fox, put into the clear. The response was instant, and she's up to take the lead. My Sassenach tries to cling to her. Veiled Prophet tries to get around Devilette as they move to the top of the stretch. Outfoxed with all the money on. She's strictly the one to catch. She's a quarter of a mile from home, and now a widening leader. She's six on top. Veiled Prophet just ran by Mine Sassenach. The rest are exhausted as they straighten for the drive. Ellen J. Foxwoods and the daughter of Valiant Minister. Outfoxed. She's clever. She's cunning. She's classy. And she's an easy winner. Geared down to win the My Dear Girl by six lengths. Second, Veiled Prophet. Third, Mine Sassenach. Fourth, Devilette. Then Chocolosa for the high five.
Pete Aiello on the call of the 2021 FTBOA Florida Sire My Dear Girl Stakes, won so impressively by Outfoxed. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman. Dave, no sport brings the wins home like racing. It's a one-of-a-kind, high-speed, high-stakes action. And Naira Betts takes you there. Bet tracks like Oaklawn Park, Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, Aqueduct, and many more, all with the best app in racing. And with Naira Betts, new users can enjoy a $200 sign-up deposit match bonus anytime. Just use the promo code HRRN200. Get in the action today. And, of course, be sure to tune into America's Day at the races every weekend. They're scheduled this weekend, tomorrow, FS2, 2:30 to 4 Eastern time. Then switch over to FS1 from 4 to 5:30. Sunday, FS2 from 2:30 to 4:30. And then over to FS1 from 4:30 to 5:30. Welcome back. Once again, a cool dozen races that we're looking at on tonight's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview. We're not done yet with the Saturday action, Dave. We've got to get back to Florida, over to Tampa Bay Downs. They've got a couple of good stakes for the three-year-olds on their road toward the Tampa Bay Derby. The Pasco Stakes leads into the Sam F. Davis, leads into the Tampa Bay Derby. And the Pasco Stakes is race number 5 on their card. $125,000 on the line for the three-year-olds, sprinting 7 furlongs on the main track. Field of 7 set to go to post here. And the morning line favorite is number 5, Catton, coming out of a good win in the inaugural stakes at Tampa Bay Downs last time out. I think, though, facing tougher competition tomorrow.
I don't know about that. Catton, who I had on the Weekend Stakes Preview, won that race easily and then was flattered by Lightning Larry coming back and winning $100,000 stakes at Gulfstream Park. I liked the move that Catton made for Ralph Nix that day, going from Gulfstream to Tampa, entering a $100,000 race, winning going away. And while Provocateur on the Rail is a really pricey Todd Pletcher horse who gets Lasix for the first time, the three races are kind of okay. The two at Belmont weren't great. The win in a maiden race against at Tampa Bay against 8 rivals was good last time, drew off, but at 4-5, that's what Provocateur was supposed to do. Cyber Viking number 2 went from Gulfstream to Tampa for this one, has won back-to-back races, but those are not great races. Optional claiming races, state bred allowance race, and a kind of cheap horse to start with. I like Catton to repeat that effort, and I think that effort is good enough to win this race.
Okay, I can agree with that, that the last race that Catton ran was probably good enough to put him right there. I'm going to go with a little bit more of a price in number four, Markhamian for Juan Avila and Marcos Meneses. So another one of the Gulfstream Invaders trying Tampa Bay Downs for the first time. To be honest, I liked what I saw from him last time out at Gulfstream in that maiden win. And that's, you know, that's easy to say when you see a horse who stalks the pace and draws off to win by almost five lengths. It's hard to say that you don't like what you saw from him, but I just think the way he did it was very professional. I think the final time for the race was solid, 1:16.2 for the 6.5 furlongs. I don't see any reason he can't continue to improve in just the third start of his career. Marcos Meneses sees fit to drive the 3.5 hours from Gulfstream to Tampa Bay Downs to stick with this Juan Avila trainee. By the way, we want to find that this is very interesting. Every one of the seven runners in this race is getting Lasix for the first time tomorrow. It's hilarious. And the funny thing was, whoever wins this race will likely go in the graded Sam F. Davis in his next start, which means they won't be able to run on Lasix that day. It's just the screwball rules that we have. And it's not Tampa Bay Downs rules. It seems to be basically everywhere that has these kind of rules, Dave, and it makes you kind of scratch your head to say, okay, well, should they be able to run on Lasix or should they not be able to run on Lasix? It doesn't make any sense. Well, they can run on Lasix today, but they can't run on Lasix in 3 weeks, and then they can run on Lasix 7 weeks after that, and it's more humorous than anything else. But they're all running on Lasix tomorrow. I'm going with number four, Markhamian. Dave going with number five, Catton, in the Pasco Stakes race five tomorrow at Tampa Bay Downs. Right after that, the sixth race, Philly Division. It's the Gasparilla, three-year-old fillies, $125,000 on the line. 7 furlongs on the main track. Field of 8, Dave. And I think the bettors are going to really make it down to 2 as far as who they want for favoritism. Number five, Outfoxed, coming off 2 back-to-back monstrous wins and down at Gulfstream Park, or number 8 Strategic Bird, who's undefeated 2-for-2 and has already won at Tampa Bay Downs in the Sandpiper.
Yeah, I think Strategic Bird's going to be in the favorite in this race for Mark Cassie. And you can't knock the 2 victories. Both of them were run with pretty quick fractions. The first maiden race by 12.75 lengths, came back in a stakes and won by a neck at even money. I mean, what's to knock about that? Beat Divine Charger, who's back in this field, number 2 here today, who, again, solid credentials. I think Todd Pletcher's Goddess of Fire, number 4, 1-4-3. But in the Pocahontas, ran in against better horses last time out, probably a disappointing effort. But I like cutting back to 7 furlongs. I like Outfoxed the best, though. I mean, you run into Echo Zulu first time out, then you respond with a 13.5-length victory in a stakes race at Gulfstream. You come back and at, you know, very, very short price, absolutely crush stakes horses at Gulfstream. I just see nothing that Outfoxed has done wrong. I trust Bill Mott, $360,000 horse, and I think coming off the pace could be valuable in here, because I think Strategic Bird and Platinum Gem and maybe one or two others are going to be out there racing pretty quickly on the front end.
All right, well, I will use both of them if I play horizontal wagers at Tampa tomorrow. I picked Strategic Bird on top simply because I think Outfox will have to pass her. I'm not sure what the pace scenario will be. I think Strategic Bird and Platinum Gem have speed. I don't think anyone else is as fast as them. And if Strategic Bird gets the lead, I don't think she'll get caught. And if she doesn't get the lead and presses Platinum Gem, well, maybe Outfox comes and passes them both. Either way, I think Strategic Bird will have the lead at the top of the stretch, and Outfox will have to pass her. I'm going to put Strategic Bird on top, but I'm using them. It's tough for me to split those two. I think they're clearly better than the others so far who are contesting the Gasparilla Race 6 tomorrow at Tampa Bay Downs. One stake to look at on the Sunday action. Back to Aqueduct for the $100,000 ladies handicap. Fillies and mares going 1 mile and 1/8 on the main track. Just a field of 6, Dave. Where'd you end up?
Well, I think Miss Leslie's going to be a pretty heavy favorite, and this is exactly the type of horse I like to beat. Miss Leslie ran a really strong Fig, winning a $100,000 race at Laurel last time out, winner of three consecutive races. I do not think Miss Leslie has faced a ton in those races. Being very, very blunt about it, two-thirds of this field I can't bet on. But Battle Bling, I can. I trust Mike Dubb, was in the Danny Gargan barn, now in the Rob Attriss barn. I actually think Battle Bling ran into some decent horses last time out in a race that he was she was claimed out of. And I think Battle Bling is going to be closer to the front in here. The winner last time out is really sharp right now. And I think Battle Bling has some excuses. Last time out was good. The previous three races on the synthetic, a race taken off the turf, and on the turf, I'm not going to count those against Battle Bling. And I think if you go back, you find some races that are competitive. If Ms. Leslie repeats the Fig she ran last time, she's going to be in the winner's circle. But that's the only career race that she's run that's that good and puts her that far ahead of this field. I think you're going to get value on Battle Bling, and that's who I'm going to bet to win.
Okay, so Battle Bling 5-2 on the morning line. The favorite is number 5, Miss Leslie, at 8-5. I was trying to figure out a way to like Miss Leslie on top, but her running style I don't think is great for tomorrow's race. She comes from well out of it. There's not a ton of pace in here. Most of these are kind of stalkers or mid-packers, and I think Miss Leslie may actually find herself last early on in the field of 6. Maybe she's just better than this field, and she's going to keep on going, and despite the fact that she's being able to pass all these rivals at Delaware and Laurel, she'll be able to step up at Aqueduct and do it. I would use her. I'm going to put number 6, It's Cold and DeHair, on top. This one also claimed out of her last start, goes from Norm Cassie to Linda Rice, so from one high-percentage barn to another. Linda Rice wins about 22% of the time, first off the claim. Like you were saying with Battle Bling, I think It's Cold and DeHair is going to be closer to the pace than Miss Leslie. She may actually find herself on the lead or right there from that outside post with the lack of speed to her inside. And Miss Leslie will probably have to pass both Battle Bling and It's Cold and DeHair to get the win. She may be good enough, but I'm like you, Dave. I'm going to try to beat her. We're both taking 5-2 morning line shots. You're going with number 4, Battle Bling. I'm going with number 6, It's Cold and DeHair, in the Ladies Handicap Race 8 Sunday at Aqueduct. All dozen races in the books. It's time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
All right, Dave, take it away.
The Don Valpredo Cal Cup at Santa Anita, the sprint, race number 9 on Saturday. I just think Brickyard Ride towers over this field. You mentioned Brickyard Ride is not one you like to rely on, not consistent enough. I think against this class of horses, state-bred $150,000 stakes horses, that's exactly what Brickyard Ride does and does well, and does well pretty consistently. Bottom line, this is not a grade 1 or a grade 2 stakes race. Brickyard Ride might not be a grade 1 or a grade 2 or even a grade 3 stakes horse, but against this caliber of field, I think Brickyard Ride is better, and I think Brickyard Ride will win.
I like your thinking, my man. Even though I'm trying to beat Brickyard Ride, it may simply be as one of those 50% type of things. Either Brickyard Ride's going to show up or he doesn't, and if he does, it's, you know, Katie bar the door. I like the way you're going with that. I'm going to go to the Sunshine Classic tomorrow at Gulfstream Park. I'm going to try to beat the heavy favorite Sham Rocket with number 1, Sir Ali. I loved what I saw from him stretching out to the one-turn mile first time for new trainer Safi Joseph Jr. last time out. He's come back to work fast since that race, and being by Quality Road, I don't know why he can't go even further than a mile. He's got the advantage of the inside post with a very short run to that first turn, going a mile and an eighth at Gulfstream. 4-1 on the morning line, Sir Ali, my best bet in the Sunshine Classic, race 6 tomorrow at Gulfstream Park. Last few minutes of the program, my friend. Of course, tomorrow, another huge morning here on the network. It's the Equine Forum presented by Twin Spires. And, Dave, it's the second rendition of You Be the Host. I know you got to listen to last week with Mike Smith as the inaugural You Be the Host. What can fans look forward to with Ramon Dominguez tomorrow?
they can look forward to anything they want. That's what makes the segment so fun. You can call up or you can send a message via social media, and you can get the response of a Hall of Famer. It might be a favorite memory you had meeting them. It might be asking them about a favorite horse or a favorite track. It's really an open-ended free-for-all of whatever you want it to be. So if you've always wondered, what would it be like to talk to a Hall of Fame jockey? Or did they like riding this style better or that style? You can get any question you might want answered. I thought Mike Smith was really refreshing to listen to, very willing to answer any sort of question, and I'm certain Ramon Dominguez will be the same.
Was there anything you learned from listening to Mike Smith last week that you say, wow, I never would have thought that?
Well, I didn't realize that jockeys thought so much about the style of the race. Somebody asked him about, does he prefer being on a closer, a horse just off the pace, a horse right on the speed? And he had a really thoughtful answer. And I would encourage our fans to log online and listen to that Mike Smith segment. It's really quite fascinating.
Once again, the Equine Forum presented by Twin Spires tomorrow and every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 Eastern Time, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That'll do it for tonight. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Dave Friedman, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nira Betts.